Hello, and thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. I'm Nick McCann. I'm joined by Travis Russell.
Hey, Nick. As a man of faith, I can say I think our prayers have been answered. I honestly can't ask for anything more than what happened today. Unbelievable.
I feel like I saw God today. Like I saw him, and people that doubt that are dumb. Like, and I mean, that's how it feels.
Yeah, we've kept
this all
faith.
Happened.
What else could you ask for, Nick? Yes.
Everything that comes behind keeping the faith delivered today, because
yes,
this is crazy. So hey man, yeah, what are we gonna do about Hosmer? What are we gonna do about we don't have to talk about that for the next 5 years
or ever again.
It's done. I cannot believe that we talked about him for as long as we did. My brain is still recovering from that.
Like, think about I'm sorry to interrupt here, but think about the man you were when you were recording live.
I was in my mid. I was in my mid late 30s. And Travis, if you could find the clip, insert it now.
Wait! I think there might be breaking news. I think it just broke.
What?
Padres got their man. Eric Hosmer is their new first baseman.
Shut up, really.
Kevin AC 10 minutes ago.
Now everybody's gonna.
Now I'm choking.
Are you serious? Whoa! We gotta post this now. Oh my god!
And there's the first.
There's
and as soon as I open my Twitter, there's the first one that I've ever seen is John DeNiro putting the. Big fat guy with a thumbs down.
It's Jeff. This is an amazing podcast moment.
Yeah.
How many minutes ago?
I wasn't sure it was real. We were just talking about I want to be over and it's done.
I was about to bring up the hot Chase Headley quote that Dennis Lynn got.
You heard it here first, people.
You heard it here first, possibly Monday. Yeah, it's Saturday night.
We'll get this up tonight.
We're getting this up tonight.
Maybe before I leave.
Look, all the other podcasts get together after the emergency happens.
This is an emergency podcast.
Wow.
It literally dropped when we started recording. That is bizarre.
How many years?
That's the deals that all we see is a deal.
Oh my god.
There's no details of what the deal is.
No details yet. Okay. Well, the other podcasts could get together and talk about we're gonna capture this moment.
All of us on our phones.
Trav.
Is this good radio? Good podcasting right now? Good audio? I'm just gonna keep talking so that people know that we haven't gone away.
Oh man. Okay, so this
is out of breath, right?
Oh wait. Did you guys feel that? The paradigm has shifted. Yeah. Posting this on Instagram.
Now what are we going to talk about?
So wait.
Well, here's the deal. Right now on Twitter, Kevin Acey's post has about 100 more retweets than likes.
This is great.
Does that kind of tell you that?
What's that? What's
everyone
that?
Knows
What's the
news,
ratio on that?
Yeah, that's like a 75%. Yeah.
So is Myers going to show up on Monday, guys? But hey, this is going to be a fun episode. We're going to be joined. We are joined by Andy Keats from the Voice of San Diego and the Rock Docs podcast.
Fellas, what's up? Been too long.
Man. Hey, and we're also joined by another AL East affiliate, my wife, Liz Malloy. McCann. Shit.
I did. I changed my name, although not for you, for our son.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it. I'm a Red Sox fan. I am on the receiving end of Eric Hosmer.
We'll get into that.
Not thrilled, but talk about what you got. Don't talk about what you lost. Talk about what you got.
That's like the fourth thing that we did today. But this has been a great day for America, I think, and and just our lives. Travis, I don't even know where to begin. I mean, the last 2 days have just changed our worldview on everything. I feel different about the economy between right and wrong. Like, I just I don't know what I can complain about as a person anymore. Where are you at?
I'm still in shock. I'm almost numb. I told my wife, if I start like uncontrollably sobbing today, it's tears of joy. It's not anything wrong. But it after last year and, you know, getting our hopes up with the same team that we made this trade with. And then at the, like, it was almost like announced, it's done. Scherzer's coming to the Padres, you know, we're going to push through. And of course we got rug pulled on that. We knew that kind of was going to happen. And this felt very similar, you know, with like, why do the Padres deserve Soto? We're the Padres. We're like still the minor league team kind of that plays Major League Baseball. And now we have maybe three of the greatest young talents in the game on our team. It's unimaginable after 45 years of, you know, mostly misery with a few glimmers of, you know, hope and joy in there to be in this position as a Padres fan. It feels unreal. It feels like I'm out of words to describe how much I feel like prayers have been answered. There's no other way to put it. And as the Kept Faith podcast, it just feels like, you know, we kept the faith, Nick. We've done it. I don't want to like pat ourselves on the back, but it feels like we've been through so, and we haven't won a World Series yet. You know, we still haven't reached the ultimate goal, but we could not be set up any better in my mind, unless it's just a fantasy fairy tale team where you're just picking everybody. This almost feels like, are we allowed to have this team? Like, this is almost Dodger-esque in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. And Andy, I mean, you cover San Diego in a lot of different facets and a lot of different ways. And a lot of what you guys talk about on the Voice of San Diego podcast is about how San Diego gets in its own way and to change things. And is this just, to me, this just feels like an example of like San Diego not getting in its own way, even though it's like a billionaire just making things happen. But I don't know. I mean, what does it feel like for you as somebody who's, you're from Baltimore, and we'll get into that later, but as somebody who looks at San Diego from the, you know, as a journalist and sees it as a place that maybe gets in its own way a lot of the times, is this like does this feel new? Is this a new feeling for you?
I guess the way I would frame it in the context of like San Diego public affairs is that San Diego perpetually talking about like it being time to act like a big city, or a big city will do this or a big city will do that. All of which is like the hallmark of a small city to ever talk that way. It's like the biggest loser energy in the world to like consciously discuss how you want to become cool. And this strikes me as like the actual manifestation of doing some sort of big thing instead of perpetually talking about it. So that's the way I would put it. And we've got another.
Yeah. I mean, it's such, I don't even know how to put it into words, but hey, we're also joined a little late, but he's coming in, you know, he's off the bench. He's coming out. Dallas McLaughlin's here. Oh, he's got takes.
Sorry, did you say San Diego Padres is Juan Soto's own Dallas McLaughlin? Is that how you introduce me? Because that's the only way I'll accept your introductions. Now on!
Yeah.
What's up? Is it weird that the greatest part of today was that we, even though we're paying for his entire salary, we still got rid of Eric Hosmer? Is that the weirdest part? Is that the best part of today is?
It is the best part of today. And they could, my wife who just received him is gonna answer that question.
It's this sweet, sweet payback for Adrian Gonzalez. It's this sweet, sweet, it's what you deserve.
Listen, it's not my fault you guys couldn't take Anthony Rizzo where he needed to be. Okay.
I don't think any Padre fan will deny that we have no ability to develop major league talent. I don't think that's a secret.
I wanted to take over for a second because, sorry, Dallas, you joined and I know you missed the very beginning. Everyone is talking how you got rid of Eric Hosmer. I really think you need to focus on the fact that you got Juan Soto and got Josh Bell. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How about you talk for a minute about what this is going to do for your lineup, which suddenly became one of the scariest in the major leagues.
Yeah.
And, you know, you looked up Musgrove like, you guys are good. Let's focus on the positive.
I gotta just say, though, if you're breaking down what the lineup looks like now, I think a huge, huge part of why it's so good is you no longer have Eric Hosmer eating a fucking hole in the middle of it.
I don't really feel ready to stop talking about like, Eric Hosmer. Yeah, I can't let it. Well, I need a night.
To be fair.
Just to like,
well, no. To be
look
fair.
Look at listen. What we went through.
Well, I can only be on for a few minutes. I have to be honest. But so I do want to address what Liz said, because I agree. Like, I want to spend a couple minutes just talking about Juan Soto, and I'll do that next week. But Eric Hosmer being off of this team, don't you think it's funny? And I'm sorry that I came in late. I don't know how much time you spent on this, but don't you think it's kind of amazing that Hosmer built this attitude in the clubhouse where it's like, well, I'm good. Because like Taylor Rogers did the same thing where he was like blowing save after save, and his defense was, I'm doing great. And you're like, oh, you must have learned the clubhouse leader. The clubhouse leader.
Total ignorance.
But,
yeah.
But guess what? Both of you are gone.
Can we walk through just the timeline of today when the Hosmer is part of he's a part of the Juan Soto deal. And then he's not.
Yeah.
And then we're like, well, is he going to blow this? Is he going to blow this? Is he going to blow? He's totally going to blow this. And AJ, like, it really made me question AJ in a really intense level that he could put together this trade and have Hosmer included in it. And then we find out through Twitter that he's not, the Nationals are not on the list.
I think that
could be an all-timer if that just blew up. But
yeah,
like,
the other way this goes, where instead of celebrating today, what is more deserving of celebration, getting Soto or losing Hosmer? The alternate reality where you don't get Soto because of Hosmer is the grimmest set of outcomes in the San Diego universe.
I'm having a hard enough.
We're asking Hosmer all these questions like, do you feel hated? And he's like, no, man, I'm sick with the glove.
Not dude.
And he is like, I'm totally saying, detached. Go, Dallas.
I just want to say, I'm having a tough enough time dealing with the fact that because of Hosmer, we lost Voit. I can't imagine if we would have lost this trade because of Hosmer. Somebody tweeted this, so it's not my line, but I think we all felt it. I think I would have bought tickets for every home game for the rest of the season and booed Hosmer as hard as I could.
If you're Hosmer, I would worry about my personal safety. Like, you already have a World Series ring. You're really going to keep Soto from San Diego because you don't want to go to the Nationals. I mean, and then how big of a jerk do you have to be? Like, what kind of clubhouse guy gets to know a Luke Voit wearing a World Series ring on his finger and $100 million in the bank account and goes, no, I'm not going to go to the Nationals. Later, Voit, you're going to go in my place. You're never going to win a ring now. I literally took any chance, unless you get traded, to ever get a World Series ring away from you because I don't like the Nationals. I'm Eric Hosmer. I'm an asshole.
Yeah. Well, that is his official nickname. I do think like what was it? 15? I get it, in reality, it was maybe 15 minutes.
It was like, it was a short amount of time, but it felt long.
It felt like an eternity.
Preller had all his cell phones going in that 15 minutes. All of them were lit up. Hosmer said, hey, no. Andy, where is he going?
Andy, you're from the East Coast. Would you rather live in DC or Boston? Don't overthink it. Just give it.
Well, you know, to play for the Nationals, you could rightly live in Maryland, and everybody knows that's a great place to live. So.
I mean, like, here's the thing, like, the thing about like Hosmer. Listen.
He's gonna hit like 17 home runs in over the next
for the Red Sox. They're gonna be like, he'll have
quotes about like launch angle. Oh, yeah, I just needed the right coaching.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's gonna say I've been looking at the video and decided to make a change.
Yeah.
Yes, he's got a bunch of passive aggressive comments lined up, just ready to go.
The best part about what's been happening is what I've been seeing more and more, and it actually made sense to me. Like I wasn't able to really put it into words, and it made sense to me. Like, he's this clubhouse leader, right? And then you do look at like the last three seasons, and the team just completely implodes on itself halfway through the season. And the team kind of reflected his attitude during that, which was like, oh, well, we're playing good though, right? I mean, I guess. Like, that's what this felt like. And so, good, get that. That's not the kind of leader anyone needs. And I'm glad that Manny, in an interview today, you know, was basically saying, like, it's bittersweet. He's going to miss Hosmer, but he's excited. Because how can you not be?
I know.
Because now you have one of the greatest players in baseball batting either behind you or in front of you, and he just made your life a lot easier. Like, are you freaking kidding me?
Two of the best. I mean, Josh.
I love Josh.
Josh Bell is not to be overlooked in this trade. We upgraded first base hugely today. Like, a if it's just Josh Bell and Hosmer goes, I'm super stoked today. Yeah. The fact that, like, Juan Soto is the cherry on top for us is wild.
I would say Brandon Drury is the cherry on top.
Pro athletes are just a weird brand, though, because I isn't breed. That's what I'm looking for, not brand. So yesterday, when the Red Sox traded Christian Vasquez, our catcher, which was a bummer. I liked him. There was all these quotes from the Red Sox being like, I don't know, man. I just feel like we're a really good team and the front office just doesn't believe in us. And I was like, you're in last place in a division which, sorry, Andy, includes the Orioles. Like, guys, I love the Red Sox. And they actually have a winning record. Like, you know, they're in a tough division this year. They're in last place with a winning record. You know, that's tough. But it's like, my point is they think they're better than they are. You know, I think you have to be to reach that level. It's just, yeah. But a certain point where, yeah, like, cooler heads need to prevail over the delusion of the professional athlete. Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of insane. And it's never been like, for San Diego, I don't think we've ever been used to that. I think that's why it's been so freeing, is like, we're not used to athletes like going like, no, we're good. Like, we're used to players like Gwynn, where, you know, Tony Gwynn and like Adrian Gonzalez when he was here, like these kind of like quiet giants who just go about their game and they play as hard as they can. It's like Mark Loretta. Like, Mark Loretta was like a Boy Scout. You know, like, we're not used to these guys who are like, I don't care. Like, I'm the best I've ever been. And it's like, no, you're clearly not. Yeah. Like, it's just so weird to me. But can I say this about Josh Bell? In fantasy, I drafted Josh Bell as a minor league player. I am so excited that Josh Bell is on the Padres. Like you said, Travis, I would have been excited just to get Josh Bell. That's like such a plus. And I, from what it looks like, I'm guessing for the rest of the season, Myers and Bell kind of first base DH, like just switch on and off for the rest of the season.
It sounds like that's what it's going to be.
I'm fine with that. Here's the other part of this that's really a big plus. And, you know, you'll talk about Juan Soto plenty while I'm off, but because there's nothing I'm going to say about Juan Soto that nobody.
Yeah, I don't know. But I don't know what the take is.
Like, it doesn't even make sense. It's just, it doesn't even compute that he's on the team.
Yeah, but I know.
Yes.
But I will say this, like, the love that right now is coming out for Will Myers is like another plus in this whole situation, because nobody hated Will Myers. We all were just bummed that he never was like the great Will Myers. But nobody ever hated Will Myers. Like, everybody always kind of loved Will Myers. Looked like what would happen if we were able to play baseball.
Yeah, he's just a goofy moron that turned out not to be worth $20 million a year.
He's a goofy moron. I think Eric Hosmer made Will Myers worse.
Yes.
Because Will Myers was playing good first base in 2017. Yeah. And like, if he just kept playing first base, he probably wins a gold. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he wins a gold glove, but he's like, he was getting better and he would have just kept getting better. And I don't know.
Well, and didn't Haas send him
the
third?
Craziest thing.
Didn't the Haas, right. Yeah. It's put Will at third, and that's what broke him. I thought like he was just watching him at third, he just got eaten alive.
That's kind of the thing that's been, you know, everybody's been talking about on Twitter, is it's like, you look at the two guys, you know, the two guys who didn't fulfill their potential so far. Will Myers had that one really good year, and that's when he signed his deal. And after that, he had some good flashes, but it was just never all put. 2020, that shortened season, he had a good season. But like, you look at the two guys who didn't fulfill their potential, Hosmer and Myers, and one of those guys played every position you told him to play, like did what he could, had to play under freaking Andy Green and Jace Tingler, like had to figure that out. And he did everything he could do. And the other guy was like, No, I'm doing good. So it's like, I'm just so happy that people are loving on Will Myers. Cause I, you know, listen, I've intimately known Will Myers. I've seen him carried off on a stretcher and I made fun of him to his face really hard. And
He was very cool about it.
And his hair looked amazing while I did it. He was clearly high and drunk. He was awesome. So I love Will Myers, and that's a big, good byproduct of all this. And Josh Bell. Brandon Drury, we don't need Brandon Drury. I don't know why they did that deal. That's a silly deal, and it's going to only disrupt things. It's a classic Preller. We might as well.
It does kind of remind me of Frasier last year.
Frasier, yes, exactly. Yes.
Is he that level? He's not that good.
I think he's better.
Frasier had a thing where he was like, I don't know Drury that well.
I mean, he's having an amazing year. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's having a really good year. Yeah. I mean, if it ends up with Cronenworth playing first every day, that seems fine to me.
I mean, the Drury thing is like, he was having a career year in one of the most hitter friendly ballparks of all time on a team where it's like somebody had to score. So like, I don't think that translates. And where is he going to play? Like, he went from playing every day, and he's not going to have that kind of a thing here in San Diego. So I think it was a mistake, and it's going to mess him up. But I mean, Listen, that's like the worst. If that's the worst thing to happen today, like, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't even talked about what happened yesterday too, because we had a major issue with our closer. So we just went and got the best closer available in baseball, it seems like.
Josh Hader, racist hater. Yeah.
I was going to say, MAGA is going to be strong on this team. He's got racist tweets.
He's got high school racist tweets, which is, you know, a lot of his teammates, people of color and the Brewers are like, they all like him. And he's talked, you know, I don't know.
Nick did his homework yesterday after seeing that train cover.
I watched the Devin Williams video. Did you see the Devin Williams video of him finding out that Hader was traded, and he was
almost like choking back tears there for a second.
Completely shocked. Like, I think Hader really helped him, like, professionally and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, I like Hader a lot. I mean, I know that he had the checkered high school, but who didn't?
If we had Twitter in high school, I don't even know.
I would be.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like Josh Hader a lot. Yeah, I had Taylor Rogers in fantasy, and I'm telling you, like, he was doing good, and then he imploded, and then it's like, I love that the team right now is just not going to put up with the everything's great, I'm doing great attitude. Like, when you're clearly not, it's like, just shut up and say, at least say you're battling. How about that? Did nobody learn anything from Tingler? Just say you're battling. If you're doing badly, you know, I just don't get it. But yes, Hader's an unbelievable upgrade. And I wish we got one more relief pitcher. I'll be honest. I really wish that, but that's okay. Maybe we.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I have when you trade Taylor as part of the trade pickup Hader, you don't get to the benefit of slotting Taylor Rogers down into the lower leverage position and go, okay, well, you know, we have the closer who's now pitching as a setup man, and so if you do the math, it's like, well, we still need one more reliever now.
It's Chris Matt. We didn't add one. We just traded. Nobody else.
And I know somebody was saying today, like, people are coming back. Pierce Johnson's coming back. And there was one other person.
Pomerantz.
It's just.
Yeah. He's getting like Pomerantz $17 million this year to not pitch. We need him.
He's supposed to be doing a rehab start.
I think it's like the coming back guys. It's a leap of faith to assume that they'll just come back and be good.
Well, yeah. Andy, that's what we deal in here. Yeah. But
leap of faith.
Yeah. The other thing that happened on Monday was they extended Joe Musgrove, which I like it. I like the $100 million for 5 years, right? That's what it is, right?
It's, yes.
I mean, if he had gone through the season and went on the open market, I think he probably would have gotten a lot more. And I like the deal. I'm sure the back end will be a problem, but I don't know. I think he's like really durable, and the way he pitches, it doesn't seem like it's really taxing on his body in a weird way. He's a big dude and he can kind of throw that way. And like,
Yeah,
I don't know.
I totally agree.
I think it makes sense. I don't want to even classify it as a San Diego discount. I think it just makes sense for both parties. And like,
Hey Nick,
it's great.
There is no more San Diego discount.
That's
it
true.
It doesn't exist
actually
anymore.
Because Peter Seidler doesn't give a fuck about any of this.
No, like, dude, that story that
they paid Hosmer for $40 million to just go away.
I know.
There is no more discount.
This is what's great about this week is that like everything that we thought for a long time is true, that we just need a crazy owner who might be dying and like it just doesn't care about money. And he decides like it's not cool to die with a bunch of money and just be like a rich guy with a bunch of money. I can buy goodwill from people that make less money than me.
Yeah.
And that's the truth about American sports. And we have that now.
Give San Diegans a reason to cheer for a team and they'll love you forever.
Yep.
It's
great. And he's just down. And I, you know, this could all blow up. This could all be bad. But today I just feel like what else can Peter Seidler do?
Like, well, he could have got one more relief pitcher. You know what I mean?
He could have got Contreras. Yeah, that's right.
I actually don't care about Contreras.
Like, NLCS and like lose. We're gonna get blown out in like the seventh inning of the NLCS, and we'll be like, should have
kept Rodgers. Yeah. Chris Matt's arm's gonna fall off. I think the only thing I'll say about the Joe Musgrove thing is like, I think it's all good. I think it's great. Because when he pitched the no hitter, like honestly, I said it then and I'll say it now. Like I can't fathom, like I literally can't put into context being from San Diego and then being on the Padres and getting the only no hitter in your team's history that you grew up loving. You have a San Diego tattoo. Like none of that just makes sense to me. So I wanted him to be here. I'm glad that they paid him money. I don't know if it'll work out every season. It probably won't. Those things probably tend won't. To never do. Yeah. But like, it doesn't matter. Like, he should be here and have the ability to end his career here. It's great.
I was talking about a hangover on New Year's Eve night. You know, you deal with that when that comes. In the moment, you have some fun.
Exactly. I'm very, very happy about it.
I think he's going to age pretty well. Like he'll lose velocity, but he's not like he's a smart pitcher. He'll probably have like a crafty second, you know, post prime where he's not a dumbass.
You'll get his best years. Yeah, yeah. You'll get his best years, you know, which is that's all you want out of anybody.
I wanted to say this. I do have to go. I'm sorry. I can only check in for a minute, but I do want to say to Andy, I'm really happy that your Orioles didn't blow it up. I'm really happy.
They only blew up half of it.
I mean, yeah, but like, you know, they could have really.
Well,
let's talk about it.
All right. Okay.
AL East chat. Let's go.
I have a lot of Orioles on my team, on my fantasy team.
I'm pretty angry. I'm pretty angry. Pretty upset. I'm pretty angry.
Andy's conflicted today. It's a dual day.
Yeah. So the Padres are Charlie Bucket. They're the little kid that got everything they ever wanted. I'm Augustus Gloom over here.
Does that make me Veruca Salt? Sounds about right.
Yeah,
the Red Sox fan is Veruca Salt. Right.
Yes,
I love that
you, but only as an avatar for the city from which you hail. Look, the Baltimore Orioles in the last 4 years since this GM has taken over have drafted first, second, fourth, and first. They have lost an astounding number of games, even by the standards of the Baltimore Orioles, who have been very, very bad for much of my life, even by the standards of the Padres, who have been very bad for most of your all's lives. By any professional baseball standard, these last 4 years have included an astounding number of losses, 110 of them last season alone.
Nice.
And the Orioles, improbably, coming off an offseason in which their biggest addition in Michael Elias's tenure was a one-year $5.5 million contract for Jordan Lyles. The biggest. That is the biggest one. Every other one is smaller than that. They are improbably 1.5 games out of a playoff spot as we sit here today. 1.5 games. This is something to celebrate.
Wow.
This is a moment to appreciate, something to enjoy. And how do they do it? How do they ring in this improbable run where a team, despite all appearances, doing something that is in the canon of great sports stories, winning when you're not supposed to win. The Orioles have one of their most beloved teams in franchise history, the Why Not Orioles, that did exactly this. And those guys will never pay for a beer in Baltimore for the rest of their lives. And how does this GM celebrate it? By trading a guy who beat colon cancer 2 years ago. One-time team MVP, third place in Rookie of the Year voting, the last remnant of the Orioles team that last made the playoffs, or the last group of contending Orioles. And for what? What did they get? What did they get for that sale? They got the crown jewel of it was, you know, a fringe, maybe, kind of, if you can squint according to one list, borderline 100th best prospect in baseball, a 23-year-old who's never pitched above single A, who just got diagnosed with a torn UCL, who needs Tommy John surgery but hasn't even had it yet. That is the centerpiece of the trade for the person who beat colon cancer 2 years ago. Who is the team leader? Who is the team leader?
I'll be
a season that is presently going on, that we are in the middle of right now, that they are 1.5 games out of the playoffs for. You're the you talk about the opposite of what Hosmer was in the Padres clubhouse. Mancini was that in the Orioles clubhouse, the guy who said all the right things that the city loved, that throughout all these shitty years where Mike Elias has been losing on purpose, has given somebody at least a reason to tune in because there was a genuinely inspiring story happening. Huh. He's traded, but he's gone. He is gone. And then you turn around and turn the all-star, the team's lone all-star gets traded today. The crown jewel of that is the 22nd best prospect in the Twins system. And so there you've got a bunch of bootlicking scrubs on Twitter out there trying to make the case that this is all smart GMing, that this is the modern manifestation of Moneyball.
The
extra 2% and Astroball, and you know, all of it rolled into one, and it's all garbage. None of this has anything to do. This isn't even a referendum on whether the modern strategy of tank of losing to win, of tanking to accumulate assets and trade all your veterans for prospects and then strike while the iron's hot 4 years later and start spending. You can believe in all that and still reject all of this. This is so much more cynical than anything Astros or Cubs or Padres ever did, because those teams never, never decided to do it while they were in the midst, like the dead center of a playoff race. It is a different thing to trade Manny Machado and Kevin Gausman in year one of a rebuild when you're already on your way to the number one pick. It is something very different to trade off a beloved player when you are 1.5 games out of playoffs. And if the only argument that you can muster in defense of it is that your chances of making the playoffs aren't that much different with or without Trey Mancini, that's fine. But guess what? Your chances of winning a World Series at some point in the next 7 years are absolutely unfucking moved based on a 23-year-old in A-ball who needs to get Tommy John surgery tomorrow. So if you're going to fucking go to your calculators to explain this one, you need to fucking soup that shit up, because the prospects don't explain shit. And this is garbage. This is a rejection of competition. There's no reason to have if you're going to allow this shit to happen.
I'm going to be honest, I didn't expect it to go that way when I set you up for that, Andy.
That was beautiful.
And thank you.
I want Padres fans, I want you to listen to that and just think about how that's not happening to us anymore. There's something really ugly about when the fan base doesn't want to be sellers and the team decides to be sellers. And I think
it brings me back to those early, you know, those mid 2000 Padres teams where it was just like anybody we had that meant anything to the city was gone. immediately traded.
And the fan base doesn't really understand it.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I mean, I can't tell you. That was one of my favorite parts about Twitter the last few days was how many people were tweeting like, oh man, we can't give up, like blah, blah, blah. They would name all these prospects we never gave up on and then turned out to be nothing. And I appreciated that, but we did so many times. We gave up all these players. I'm sorry. And I feel your pain, but I also really like Austin Hayes a lot.
Yes, I do too. They have good players. All the more reason not to fucking trade a couple of them. I agree. When you're 1.5 games out of the wild card. Listen to what this asshole said. Listen to what Mike Elias said. He said this out loud with people standing in front of him, holding microphones, knowing that not only me, but his players, the whole world was going to hear this. Ultimately, I have to tether my decisions to the outlook and the probabilities of this year. We have a shot at a wild card right now, but it is not a probability that we're going to win a wild card.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
This motherfucker said the quiet part out loud. He openly said, I recognize what you're looking at, but I'd rather not. I think we should be bad. I'd rather us be bad.
He sounds a lot like when Ted Cruz talks.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. Where it's like he can reason himself into any decision.
I'm in a DM of Orioles fans, and somebody in it today said that this is like Major League Baseball if all of the stuff with the owner happened in at press conferences. If she went out and explained her strategy publicly.
Yeah.
There's not even any pretense that it's bad to want to lose.
Well, listen, I hate to jump off on that, but I have to. I'm glad that we had some Orioles chat there for a second. I am sorry that you're going through that, but I like Austin Hayes a lot. And Ryan Mountcastle.
Yeah.
And Mullins.
Cedric Mullins. And fucking Adley Rutschman is like,
he's great.
One of the five best players in baseball since the day he came in.
You got some hopes.
It's like,
maybe you can just fire the front office a little bit. I don't know.
They should be fired.
A little bit.
All right, a little bit. I don't know. Nick, and he's really mad. I don't know what to say. I'm just trying to say certain things.
They should be fired. That's all there is to say. Say that.
I'm in a DM of Orioles fans too, and they're also really upset about it.
I dropped mine. But
he's
the red man of the campaign.
We have Soto. We have Soto and Bell. I don't want to
project that to him, but
no, don't say it out loud. We should probably
he knows. Okay. All
right. I love you guys, and go Padres.
Go Padres.
Okay, so the last thing we should talk about is, okay, so we've done all these things. We've acquired Juan Soto, we've gotten these people, and the farm system is depleted. Mackenzie Gore, CJ Abrams, Hassel, Wood. I mean, these are people that we've been targeting, and I feel nothing. I don't care. I was very attached to Mackenzie Gore. I won't lie. He was the byproduct of one of the worst seasons in Padres history, and I just believed, I still believe in Mackenzie Gore. I still believe in CJ Abrams. I don't know much about Hassel, but are you afraid of this, Travis? Are you worried about the depletion of the franchise's farm system at all?
I'm not at all. Here's the main reason, especially with Preller at the helm, who now I think we should give due props to. We've been a little critical of him recently because, you know, this is kind of a fish or cut bait trade deadline. But no, I think you have to do this. Preller has only had minor leaguers as trade chips. I mean, that's his game, right? He hasn't really wanted to see a guy come up and say, hey, this is the guy that I drafted, and this is a guy that we developed, and look, he's a star in our team. He gets these guys as trade chips. That's all he really, and we've questioned it. Like, I think the overall war is still on the negative side. Like, if you add up all the guys he's traded away versus the guys he's got, I think he's still negative overall. But with this final piece, with Juan Soto, I honestly don't care who's left in the minor league system. It's not a one-year rental. It's a three-year in the prime of Machado, Tatis coming into his own. It just feels like such a perfect fit. If we come out of these 3 years and have nothing left for the next five, I'll be a happy camper. It'll be worth the gamble. You know what I mean? In my opinion, at least. This is unlike anything we've ever seen as a Padre fan. So
At the risk of sounding like a real condescending asshole, today reminded me of the good old days for the Red Sox when we were always in the hunt at the trade deadline. We got some great players and it was super exciting. Every once in a while, one of those minor leaguers we traded away did pan out. And if they had real success, it did. Like we brought up Anthony Rizzo earlier, like that stings a little bit, like, ooh, we let that guy go. That sucks. But you know what? We got championships out of it and I would not trade those for the world. And a prospect is just that, it's a prospect and you just never know how they're going to turn out. They might be great. They might play 10 games in the majors and that's it. And just, I think a guy like Juan Soto though, that is the real deal and you've got him and he's proven himself. And I think he's going to do great for you guys. And never worry about trading away prospects for a player of that caliber.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an easy for me. I was staring at it going, this doesn't hurt. This does not hurt.
I wonder about Preller and like the way he operates. Like, obviously this is so great. I mean, Juan Soto's amazing and it's going to be, they've done everything that they should do. And I don't know, like they've done so much to just build this great roster that like, even if like Juan Soto blows out his knee and like some, all this stuff just falls apart. Like, I don't know how I can be mad at this point. Like they've done everything they could do. I feel like I don't have any complaints as a fan, but I do wonder about Preller. I think about Preller all the time. I have since 2015 and he does seem to build to the big moments and it's like, I'm taking the zeitgeist of baseball. I'm just like, I'm going to be the center of baseball for like 2 days and we all get excited. That's how he came into like prominence. And I don't know. I wonder if like the way he operates is just, it lends itself to these big showy explosions, and then like when it actually plays out we don't get the results. And I think about like the big spikes in his career where like we're all really excited about it and you see like how people just decide that he actually sucks, and then he has these other big spikes. I just don't know.
I think it's been building though, because I mean, you look honestly, as much as we're joking here and Hosmer didn't really work out, Hosmer was like one of the first times I think in a long time that the Padres got the big free agent, right? He was the big free agent on the market that winter and they got him. And even though it didn't really work out, I think getting Hosmer convinced guys like Manny Machado to come here because they're like, oh, the Padres are willing to spend money. So I think it's built, it's built up, and building takes a while and it's a process and there's two steps forward and one step back. But I just think what the team did today is, obviously you never know what's going to happen. Shit can happen. But I think this team is just stacked and you guys are going to be competitive for a few years.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's just hard to imagine them not being awesome with this collection of guys. I mean, what I think about Preller is that he has had a weird inability to do the little stuff after doing the big stuff.
Yeah.
There's always like
the what I'm, that's what I'm, yeah.
The reliever.
That's
what
yeah.
There's
a lot, reliever.
Or the, there's like, the first flourish when we were first introduced to AJ Preller, the opt-in camp spree. Was like one of those pieces really fit together. Who's going to play center field? And it was like, well, there'll be more moves. This will all come together
and
later.
It felt modern and smart to be like, well, don't worry about that. Yeah. Assets is the only thing that matters. And like, just get assets and don't
get good players.
But then when you actually try to build a contender, it's like, does this actually fit? And I still don't know.
This team though feels the most complete. I mean, like, you know, Dal saying that he wanted another reliever, I get, but that's a little bit different than like, well, there's a you forgot to get a center fielder, and now Will Myers is your opening day center fielder. You know, like that was what happened in year one. You know,
yeah. I don't know. I feel like there's like a rhythm to Preller's moves where it's like, oh, this is an explosion and we're excited, and then like the day-to-day, like figuring out, I mean, essentially this is an office that you're trying to build, and like I don't know if it all works. I don't know if he can like navigate that. I mean, you look at the Adam Fraser trade last year where it's like that blew up everything somehow, and I don't know if he has the best acumen to like figure that out.
The other thing that he does with these big flourishes is it somehow becomes harder in aggregate to like take stock of what you've lost, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like
I think that's gonna be a big thing with that. Like
I remember in that the first one and all the excitement, it was a little bit hard to realize like, oh, they traded Trey Turner, huh? Wasn't he the best prospect on the team? You know, it was like a year and a half later. It's like, oh, wait.
Six years later, he goes to the Dodgers and we're fucking mad.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that could be the case here. Right now, I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh, well, they got Juan Soto. Who cares? But maybe I'll take a look and be like, whew, that is actually a lot. Like, you know, between all these trades, maybe they did really get rid of a lot. But, you know, in the baseball I grew up with, I remember most teams made like one trade, maybe two trades, and it was always like pretty clear what you were giving up, what you were getting. You could kind of sit there and lick your wounds over the prospect that you had fallen in love with, who you were saying goodbye to. Now it's like they've said goodbye to 12 players. They said hello to 9 players. Like, who can keep track of it all? You know.
I mean, the thing is, like, I've spent several years being excited about CJ Abrams and Mackenzie Gore. Mackenzie Gore is like he was a product of like a really bad season, and it was like we got Mackenzie Gore and this kid has 4 pitches, he's hitting the upper 90s and he's special, and like this is gonna be our Roger Clemens or whatever, you know, like something like that. And he struggles, his development goes through the COVID stuff and it's a mess, and now he's just gone and he's tweeting stuff like, thank you San Diego for what you did for me, and I'm like, you know, you softened the blow of a really bad season, and now you're gone, and now I have possibly Ted Williams or whatever. I don't know. I mean, I think it's like it's a weird one. I imagine he'll have a great career with like the Nationals, and I think CJ Abrams is going to be good. I still think he's going to be kind of good. And
I mean, they get, I mean, the people who love prospects say they're all very good.
I know.
Am I to disagree? So I'm sure they are.
But Josh Bell is here and he's mashing, and I don't know. It's a crazy day. And you know, the Padres they had a doubleheader today, and did they win? I don't even know.
They won the first game, and Haters in were tied. Top of the ninth, I believe. Yeah. Tied 2-2, top of 9. So I have a quick question.
Myers made a highlight over the shoulder basket catch, bobbling it with a slide in like the fourth or fifth inning. So just to be clear, Eric Hosmer wouldn't have even attempted the play.
Oh, and he had a pick earlier from Machado way, way in foul territory on third. It was a beautiful pick, leaned into it, kind of fell down, but it was a whole new team without Hosmer at first. So when do we see Soto? When's the first game?
The thing about Hosmer is he's actually a worse human than he is a player. So that's the other thing that's so great about him going to the Red Sox. I feel like we might have given short shrift to how much Red Sox fans are going to hate him and how much he is going to hate Boston. And I mean, just knowing that we get to watch that marriage, it's like, it's just such a
I really do want to tell like all of my friends and family back in Boston, like, yeah, so the Padres landed Juan Soto and Josh Bell, and the guys spent the entire podcast talking about how they got rid of Eric Hosmer. So that's just what you all have to look forward to. I, you know, listen, I follow Red Sox Twitter, whole different place. And a lot of them were pretty psyched because I guess Franchi Cordero has been absolutely abysmal at first. I haven't gotten to watch a ton of Sox games. And they got this kid, Bobby Dalbec, who everyone wants to be good. Talking about prospects, everyone really wants him to be good. And he just can't pull it together at the major league level. And they're like, who cares? We're getting a guy who can pull off routine plays at first. And I'm like, are you? And like a few of them started catching some videos from some of our Padres Twitter guys, like at Too Much Mortons, who was like pulling together all of these clips of just Hosmer being terrible. And a few of them were like tweeting that and being like, hold on, what's this? I'm like, yeah, this is not gonna be great.
You're gonna hate it.
No, knowing any bit of optimism makes me very, very happy. That's great to know. The setup is all there. It's great.
I just want to say that my favorite part about the Adrian Gonzalez experience in Boston was that he like exemplified this like evangelical version of Christianity where it was like they fell apart at the end and it was like, that's in God's plan.
Yeah.
And all the Catholics in Boston were like, actually, that's not how we do things.
That's not how God works.
That's not God as we understand him.
That did not play well.
Did not play well. And I Hosmer's attitude of no guys, I'm great. I don't know what you're talking about. No, I'm great. That I will also not fly well in Boston.
I don't need to be forgiven.
Honestly, like I might start becoming a daily Boston sports talk listener to soak in every ounce of this.
I think it's a good. I think we should. I am. I mean, we should do that.
I might stop following the Padres and the Orioles and just try to get all of the Hosmer Red Sox era I can.
For all we know, the quirks of Fenway might be suited to his swing and he'll hit 12 home runs.
He's going to rake. He's going to rake for like 3 weeks and he'll be like, you guys, they're just going to be like, they didn't understand him. You know, that's it. Okay.
Back shirts right now. As soon as one goes through the right through his legs, Buckner's back shirts are going to be.
We have long memories in Boston. One quickly before we wrap things up, I understand he was for the Dodgers, but before we started, Vin Scully passed away. Do any of you guys want to have a quick reflection on Vin Scully? Yeah. Really shortly before we started recording, it came across. So yeah.
I always used to talk shit about Vin Scully and like downplay how good he was just to antagonize Dodgers fans, and I used to be like, well, you know, Jerry Coleman was better, just to say that. But you know, he was an extraordinary person and unparalleled pretty much for like play by play, and that's I cannot believe he died today. Actually,
yeah, like,
that is the most amazing
Don,
perfect in a way. Not that I want him to die, but like I just think it's like
the trade killed.
He stepped aside. Yeah. You know, once we
Don told a great story on air just a couple minutes or just before I stepped on that when he was sort of ruthlessly pushed out of Boston by their villainous ownership group.
Yeah.
That Vin Scully called him and told him, you should go to San Diego, get everything back on track. You're at a crossroads.
East Coasters. Go to San Diego, shit will work out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the story of this podcast, and I think that's the story of Vin Scully. And no, he was extraordinary, and just like doing like so. What's baffling to me is like he was just extraordinary at doing solo play by play by himself,
and
all those, you know, all those guys that can. do that. I mean, Ted Leitner is like our guy who he did a lot of solo stuff and like
not my favorite.
That generation, like he's younger, but like I just think like those guys just they understand the pauses, they understand the rhythm of it in a really cool way. And I just
Vince, that's amazing. He was so good. I would listen to Dodger games just to hear him broadcast a game. And I hate the Dodgers. Like there's nothing in me that has any interest in listening to a Dodger game. But like even like falling asleep to him broadcasting a game is just, I don't know. He was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Brilliant. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's where the creator of the X-Files got the name for Agent Dana Scully was after Vin Scully. Fun fact.
Love it.
And his first professional game was a college football game at Fenway Park between Maryland and Boston University, my alma mater.
Wow.
Undefeated since 95 when they canceled the program. So little fun fact about Vin Scully to tie this whole podcast together.
Amazing. Cool. 94, how can you be sad? Celebrate a long life. That's crazy.
Yeah. He was busy calling Eric Karros and Mike Piazza games. That's a gift to everybody. But we're gonna wrap up right now. But Andy, you have a great podcast called Rock Docs, which is something that everybody should listen to, and I listen to every week and enjoy. I've been a guest on it.
Fantastic guest.
Killer guest on it.
Killer guest appearance.
Check it out. Rock Docs and the Voice of San Diego podcast is also your side project that you do. And check out what Andy's doing. That's a great podcast with you and David Lieserbaum, who's been on this show too. What's coming up next week? Is there any?
Ooh, catch me on the spot. I don't know. We have a bunch of episodes banked. Maybe. I don't know. Honestly, I'm sorry. Take a look right now. If you're watching right now, we just put up David and I guest hosted on Candace Ely and Jeff Terich's podcast. Uh-huh. They talk about the music of popular television shows. We did an episode on Mad Men. We just threw that up in our feed. And if you like music documentaries, just scroll through the feed. There's going to be a music documentary you've probably watched before and like, and give that one a spin.
Cool.
Awesome.
Also, you can check out my wife's podcast, her band, the Fictitious Dishes podcast. Is that what it's called?
It's called Getting Real with the Fictitious Dishes. When we picked that name, we didn't realize there's a lot of podcasts that start with Getting Real. So you got to do the whole thing. Getting Real with the Fictitious Dishes. It's an advice podcast where a band gives you advice. My band, The Fictitious Dishes, you can find us on streaming services. We've never been invited on Rock Docs. I don't take it personally.
We can't have the whole band, Liz, but I would love that view.
We don't have any shows coming up at the moment. We should. It's summer, but we don't. But yeah, check us out on Spotify, The Fictitious Dishes.
Cool. All right.
So, Nick, when do we see Soto in a Padres jersey for the first time? Is tomorrow his first game?
I think Thursday is that, is it tomorrow? I know Hader's already there.
But, I mean, yeah, that's what I'm curious about. When do we see him? I have tickets for Thursday.
Bring him in tomorrow.
No,
let's go.
I would imagine by Thursday, right?
I don't know. That's why I'm chomping at the bit here. When are we going to see him in the lineup?
I don't know.
We'll see.
He's just going to be a part of our lives, and I hope it's fun. He's extraordinary. AJ Preller's extraordinary. We're in a great time.
Yes,
for San Diegans, and
we're the golden age of Padres baseball. Right here.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and check out the Kept Faith at thekeptfaith.com and Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And we'll be back in the next chapter, I guess.
Yes.
When we're stomping people, right? I think that's what we're angling towards. We're just going to be a dominant team. It's all going to work out.
Dodger fans are shaking. Trembling Dodger fans.
All right. RIP Vin Scully. Love you. Yes. Keep the faith. Bye.
Go Padres.